my goodness. What an absolutely insane week, as we were just mentioning before. Look, if you're listening to this on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon Podcast, Stitcher, wherever you're listening right now, we always have a little bit of bonus now leading into each episode that is exclusive to YouTube. It will not be on the pod version. So you're going to go to Full Tilt Dynasty Podcast Network on YouTube. Subscribe. You can get that. And everyone else, this is the Full Tilt Dynasty Podcast Network. This is episode 174 presented by Fantasy Points Media Group. Obviously, we are partnered up with Underdog Fantasy at Well. You can use promo code Full Tilt and Underdog Fantasy, and they will match your deposit up to $100. This is just going to be an absolutely insane day. We have players moving up. We have players moving down. And what in tarnation is happening with some of our favorite players from the offseason? Like, this has just been an absolutely wild and insane year. Like, scoring, it's just unbelievable. Of course, I'm your host with the most timeless hands. I am Tom Simple FF. Joining me as always from around the world is at Tom Lee _92, and we've got at the cute hurts. How was my what in tarnation? Is that pretty good, like, for a Canadian?
Daggum, that's pretty freaking good, y'all.
Oh, I got a dag on. Oh my god. Okay, I'm in the familia. I'm good. I'm from the South now. The best parts of the South, though, not the weird ones. All right.
It's all weird. You just accept it.
Today on the show, we are doing our Budgie Smugglers of the Week. We're gonna punish a tally, right? We're gonna do some hard yak. We might even, you know, fair dink them our way through the show a little bit here too. We don't know. Whatever we can get to, we're going to get to. And if there's time, which I highly fucking doubt there is, because there never seems to be at the end anymore, we're going to do some troubling start and sits. This is important. Gentlemen, as always, there's 672,421 other podcasts, websites, articles, whatever to get your news from. We're going to kind of skip through that. The only one I want to touch on is Ja'Marr Chase, because of course the world hates us.
Yep.
The world hates us. It's fantasy football's a deep and dark environment this year. Like, I'm down bad. But Tom Lee, one of your favorite players in football, is going to actually be good again. The man you tried to sell every single member of every single league that you were in for the last 2 years, Tyler Boyd, you might finally be able to get a draft pick for him right now. Ja'Marr Chase, obviously, I've seen some people say 6 to 7 weeks. I've seen some people say he's not going to play again this year. Obviously, it's a hip injury with a little bit on top. I'm not a doctor. Look at my face. Quite clearly, that's true. How are you approaching this? Are you riding the Mixon bandwagon? Are you just slapping Tyler Boyd and expecting, what, wide receiver 2 every week? How are you guys handling it? You look ready to go, Tom Lee. We'll go with you.
Because I think the main thing is people are reacting and saying that T. Higgins is going to be a massive number one. I think T. Higgins benefits a lot from Chase taking the number one coverage each week. He'll still be great. The volume will definitely be increased, but I don't think there's any more boom to his weekly benefit. I think Boyd's probably the one that's going to benefit the most because he's still looking explosive. He's the check down, mixing a little bit more in the passing game, but I wouldn't be surprised if Zach Taylor throws P. Ryan out there more just to annoy us, or throws Mike Thomas from them. There'll be someone else who benefits, but I don't think it's going to be just T to the moon like everyone's hoping.
Well, and T to the moon is definitely in more full effect, I think, when Chase is around. I think, like,
T's chilling in the moon. He's there. Like,
yeah, he's all.
We're all T fans. This is anti-T.
He's already been on the moon for a while now. Lucas, how are you approaching this? How do you think this changes things? Obviously, if you're not Taylor Cornell, at Taylor Cornell on Twitter, he does the Who Day Den podcast. It's all Bengals all the time. Spangles, he's phenomenal, right? So if you want, like, the best Bengals podcasting possible, go hit up Taylor, check that out. But Lucas, how do you think this is going to affect your fantasy teams moving forward with the Bengals? We already knew what kind of show it was, but now I don't know if it's just going to be the same.
I mean, it makes Hayden Hurst a much more attractive streaming tight end option at this
Interesting.
Point.
Interesting. That's the name we haven't heard a lot of so far. Yeah, interesting.
I know. But, I mean, the targets have to go somewhere. We say that all the time. And while, yes, T. Higgins, he, I don't know how many more targets he can actually earn in this offense. He might get one or two more opportunities a week, but I mean, he's already been producing a lot for your teams. He already has a very established role in that offense. And with Ja'Marr Chase lying up on the outside, I just don't see him working out other than Hurst going with a check down.
I guess it's more touchdown upside, right? Like, there could be some more touchdown looks towards T. Higgins, but yeah, well, I'm with you. I don't think it's going to be particularly.
Yeah. I mean, I am grabbing Caden Hurst in those leagues where I punted on tight end, thought Albert O was going to be a thing, and then have been crying all season. So,
right.
Give me Hayden Hurst, I guess.
What I'm afraid of is that Zach Taylor is going to regress back to his old ways, which is hammer Joe Mixon up the middle for 3 yards 25 times a game and abandon what had been working, which is put Joe Burrow in shotgun and let him do what he's been doing. Exactly. So I don't know what they're going to do. I am a little worried. I think that's a boot it. For news, I don't think there's anything. What are you shaking my head at a boot? Come on now.
Young Joka got traded.
Yeah, I don't care about that though. There's like seven wide receivers. There's seven wide receivers in Kansas City. I do want to pour one out for Sky Moore right now, though. I'm still buying in Dynasty because it is dirt cheap, and I just for some reason I can't let go. Kind of like Tom Lee's Najee Harris problem, but way cheaper. Way cheaper. All right, we're going to take a quick second. Here's a clip from last week. When we come back, we're going to get into our budgies of the week. Let me tell you, I knocked it out of the fucking park, and I'm going to do it again.
You'd be out of your mind if you just said, like, oh, I'm out on Quinn Ewers right now because of that one game.
I agree with that. Like, I'm not out by any means, but, like, he was definitely moving up into that top tier. I never had him in that top tier like people wanted him to be, or at least some people, but he's dropped from that and not already being in the top tier. So like I'm not out. He's fine. Like he's still in that like playable, you know, like draftable kind of player, but I need to see a bounce back here or else it's going to be not great. Now I will say compared to his counterpart that, you know, when he was out, like he is helping the Xavier Worthies, the Tavian Sanders, like he's actually helping those players more like by hitting them. But man, that was a rough game.
John on the Full Tilt Debbie podcast would take a slight slip up chance to take a shit on Quinn Ewers because Quinn Ewers is good and John hates good quarterbacks and loves bad ones. Mac Jones, Baker Mayfield. So our budgie smugs of the week. If you don't know what a budgie smuggler is, you're doing yourself a massive disservice. Also, everyone listening, wherever you are, please contact the budgie smugglers and tell them to sponsor this pod because I love their product. I think they're hilarious. And Full Tilt Dynasty Podcast Network and specifically the Fantasy Walkabouts needs custom budgies so we can put Tom Lee in them and walk him up and down the beaches to scare many people. But who won't be scaring people? Look, this is about who's walking in with confidence. Who's walking in with top tier, elite, all-time swag and confidence. Confident enough that when he gets off the plane, he's not in a suit, right? When he gets off the bus, he's not swagged out in Gucci. Nah, all he's wearing is fucking budgie smuggler, all right? Cheeks out. All right, it's all on the line in the budgie smugglers. Last week, I said Josh Jacobs would be a top three running back. Guess what? He wore his budgie smugglers right through that stadium, probably under his gear. All right, and he absolutely ran rampant. This week, my budgie smuggler of the week, I think, is absolutely, I'm going to say it, 100% locked in. The man earned his nickname in 2019 as Raheem Mostert, and this week, you must start Raheem Mostert, budgie smugglers and all, extra oil, super glistening. It's going to be phenomenal. He's averaging nearly 70% of the snaps. He's coming off a 4-reception, 109 total yard performance against Pittsburgh with another favorite matchup against Detroit, which is the second best matchup for running backs in points per game via Pro Football Reference. He is cheap. He is dominating. Chase Edmonds sucks, and they run the football over there in Miami. If you're putting him in, I'll say this. Raheem Mostert is a 100% must flex player this week. And my budgie smuggler of the week, Tom Lee.
I love it. Skies out, thighs out. That's what we say.
That's right. That's right. I thought that'd be too creepy. I thought it'd be too creepy if I said that with my mustache.
It is a little. I'll take that for you.
People are mass reporting us right now for sure.
The glistening oil part was concerning.
I'm pretty sure I saw that guy near my school.
Especially when we get to my guy, I do not want to see a hint of oil on this body.
Phenomenal.
So last week, the prayers were up with Dak. So the 38% market share exposure rate got found out. QB17, yep. Not a great. He wasn't smuggling a lot of heat.
No,
left him at home. It was a bit cold out. I don't know how it happened.
Was it a full frontal stuffing situation with Dak?
He had him on backwards.
Pre-game? Oh, yeah. That's the worst. That's even thinner.
Like Zeke must have put liniment oil in the front of it. And there was just
That'll do it.
Speaking of fire crotches, so this week is Andy Dalton.
Oh.
The Red Rifle. God. I'm hoping there is a little bit of crotchal fire going on with this man. Because last week he came off one of his best fantasy performances of all time. Look, we don't assess in the fantasy world the accuracy of the passes. The rifle had a little bit of friendly fire last week.
Yes.
Two touchdowns in 2 minutes is an impressive sounding statistic unless it's to the other team, which you need to do. So if you want to stream the oppositional defense, you can. But Las Vegas sucks against opposing quarterbacks. Number 32 in the league, or number one in the league, I guess, if you're giving up points. Confirmed a start already this week. If that changes, if they do something weird, obviously I'm going against this. But I'd be looking for him to repeat some of this effort. He was a QB1 last week, which is probably unattainable this week, given that a few players are back. But hopefully a top 12, top 15. You know, if you're playing Superflex, he's the guy who's sitting there just going, why do I have this guy on my bench that I want in my lineup this week?
Who was it that you asked? It was Aaron Rodgers, right? You asked Aaron Rodgers or Andy Dalton. Yeah. And
it's a classic example, right? We've had 20 years, or the best part of 20 years, of consistency from Green Bay, but now these are the decisions we have to make, and it's, for me, this week, the Red Rifle.
Fair enough. That's a really good budgie, and fire crotch references. Got to absolutely love that. Lucas, your budgie smuggler of the week, bring the heat. I wonder how many of those puns we can make, but let's do it. Bring the heat, Lucas.
Oh, my gosh. Well, the puns are going to stop at me, unfortunately. I'm not that quick on my feet. You know who is very spry on his feet, though? It's my man, Derrick Henry.
You segue.
It's my man, Derrick freaking Henry. And, you know, I'm going to steal a little bit from Tom last week. He went after the Houston Texans matchup, and I'm going to attack it again. Josh Jacobs was able to finish as the RB1 last week, and I think Derrick Henry can do it this week. I mean, absolutely must start. He is my RB star of the week. He is actually seeing a receiving workload right now, which seems really strange to say. Look at his targets for the last 4 weeks since he had a really rough start, right? Can't excuse it. First 2 weeks sucked. Last 4 weeks, 6 targets, 5 targets, 2 targets, 3 targets. That's unheard of for Derrick Henry. I know it's still not a lot, but I'm excited for that. He is killing it in yards per attempt. He has 3 straight games over 100 yards, and he just came off a 30 carry week. I mean, I'm ready for this. I'm ready to actually get one of these things right, because we will not talk about Michael Pittman. That was horrible. That was terrible. I'm extremely sad. But you know what? Derrick Henry is ready to be busting out of that budgie smuggler. All right. He might need to actually wear 2 or 3 just to have a backup. So,
All right. I'm mad when you said you built it. I was really expecting like a Tony Stark was able to build this in a cave with spare parts. But I didn't get that, and now I'm really sad.
I'm sorry. Yeah, like I said, I'm not that quick. And no, I am not a Titans fan. I am a Broncos fan. I mean, I like the Titans, have nothing against them, but growing up in Knoxville, this is where my allegiance is, baby. Go Vols. It's Kentucky week, guys. I am excited. I am pumped. I got my Philip Fulmer football right here. I got Eric Berry football up there. 98 championship football up there. Y'all can't see those. That's fine. But I am
We believe.
Pop, baby. 8-0, here we come.
Hey, look. Hey, NBA Rig loves the stash. You're the first person not threatened to report me, so I love you for that. And like I said, the Movember donation button is in the description. So head there. If you love the stash, donate for it. We're raising awareness. We'll get into that a little bit later. All right. Phenomenal. We love our budgies this week. I'm feeling pretty good. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're obviously going to punish Tatali because that's just what we do on this goddamn program. He's on the hunt. Over the last 2 weeks, this player has seen his production skyrocket because the team is relying on him, and so are your fantasy football teams. Josh Jacobs this week is rolling in with the last two games against Kansas City and Denver, two decent defenses, having over 80% of the snap share. He is touching the ball frequently. His last three games, he has six targets. He's caught five passes in each one of those games. He is eclipsing well over 100 yards per game over his last three games, which coincides with them taking Brandon Bolden and going, don't worry, the big boy's here now. So Josh Jacobs is walking into that huddle with his budgie smuggler and taking over. Boy, I wasn't wrong. I didn't upload that clip, by the way. That wasn't me. Lucas did that, all right? I'm not out here pumping my own tires. Lucas is out here pumping my tires for me like a gentleman, even though he refuses to shave in a mustache, which is not very gentlemanly.
You actually might look better with a mustache, Tom. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, well, hey. I don't know if that's like an actual compliment, but I'm going to take it and I'm gonna take it.
This beard not as an accessory, but to cover up things that the world just doesn't want to see.
It's our shame budgie smuggler. It's our facial smuggler.
I think that's why like all fantasy analysts all wear hats to some degree, because we're all losing our hair. Well, most of us are losing our hair because of our crypto portfolio.
I'm doing it because I was taking a nap before this, and my hair is all sorts of screwed up.
You would say it was disheveled. That's right. I'm pulling big boy words today. Look, as I said, we are powered by the Fantasy Points Media Group. Fantasy Points is one of the leading websites for everything you need in fantasy football. And not only are they an absolute powerhouse, but they have some of the best content available. Scott Barrett recently tweeted, actually it was just 15 minutes ago, Fantasy Points data, the week 8 chart porn. You are going to want to go to fantasypoints.com. right now, sign up, read this article. Scott Barrett, friend of the show, former guest. We're going to have him on again for part 3. Absolute master of the statistics. So go to fantasypoints.com right after this program, okay? Because I want you locked in right here for what's next. Tom Lee, why don't you explain what we are up to next for the people? They need to know.
So Punisher Tully. So we know Punisher Tully. We try to keep this a little more lighthearted, a little less analytical. So we thought we'd check on Dynasty again and see some rises and fallers. So what are some big changes? We're sort of aware of it in leagues. We sort of know that some prices are going up and going down, but we actually want to look at some ADP. We want to look at some rankings and see how they're changing on different websites and see what's out there, what the consensus is doing, just to back up and reconfirm that these things are actually happening and whether or not there's an opportunity to do anything about it. So we're going to flow through some rises and fallers.
All right. I think for the most part, like some of these are kind of like obvious in a way, but I still think just because they're obvious doesn't mean that they shouldn't be mentioned. Thomas, which tool to use on Fantasy Tools website? Do you mean the Fantasy Points website? I love their expected points model and I love their strength of schedule. Those are the two. If I had to say the two that I use the most, it would be those two. And I definitely, again, I implore you, please go and do so. But just because some of these picks are a little more obvious doesn't mean they don't deserve to shed some light. Like I'm looking at Tom Lee, and look, these are some pretty banging ones here. But let's talk about your risers. You have three running backs. I feel like we could group most of these together because – I think consensus, these are all players that were not in the top 10
That's the thing, right? We know they're up, but it's like, look how far they're up. This is the thing.
Yes. So walk us through that.
So first, Kenneth Walker, like we know, full opportunity in the Seattle backfield, has done really well the last 2 to 3 weeks, has started looking really explosive. The one that springs to mind, he cut that run to the outside, looked like, oh, we'll get the first, and then all of a sudden it was just off. Down the sideline, 60-yard run, and he's moved all the way up. So looking at two different websites in particular, so we're looking at Fantasy Pros and DLF just as a general guideline. You can use whichever ones you want. But their current dynasty rankings have Kenneth Walker all the way up at RB8 and RB7 respectively, which is huge, right? We extrapolated, we expected this. We talked about your rankings, it was last week, week before. And we know he's probably top 12, but RB8 is a large jump and a far cry from where he was heading into the year.
Carry on, John.
So, nice. Yeah. Thoughts, Lucas?
I mean, you're absolutely right. You love to see rookie running backs actually providing value to your teams. And I know it comes at the cost of other people getting injured, but this is what we wanted to see the whole time. And it's nice to see that his skills are actually translating to the NFL. You don't always see that immediately from a rookie, but the first time he actually got extensive playing time, I mean, he's gone out there, he's produced, and he is saving my redraft teams because he kept falling and falling and falling. Fortunately for Dynasty, it was tough to find a good value in your rookie drafts. He was always going in the top four at a minimum. But he's firmly established himself up there as somebody who should be ranked in the top 12 of your dynasty running back rankings going into 2023. So I'm really excited.
Like, I think that I still only have a problem with Damian Pierce being like regarded as a top 12 dynasty back, because I can deal with 6 weeks of like Breece Hall taking us from 10 to number one because he has the draft capital. He has the, the production in college. He has everything. He has all the peripherals going ahead. That's what was expected. Damian Pierce taking the job from Burkhead should have been baked in to your expectations. Them overusing a running back in all game scripts should have been predictive when you watch what they did with Mark Ingram last year. Even with a different coaching staff, they did the same shtick. And he's been very good. He's a very good to like player. Outstanding? I don't think so. I have a feeling that Damian Pierce is just going to be treated like any other James Robinson in his rookie season was. I think a James Robinson-esque rookie season for Pierce is right on the table. And look how the dynasty community was still 50-50 on James Robinson.
Yeah. So one player. Yeah, we're talking about Damian Pierce. So I'll whip through the other two. So Damian Pierce and Etienne was the other one. So Etienne's up to 14th and 12th, and then Damian Pierce is 16th and 19th. So the community hasn't collectively reacted overly and put him into the top 12, but that value is really what people are asking for. The question for me is, we've been talking about running backs a lot in the last few weeks. The temptation becomes to buy these guys because they look like they're young foundational pieces. The fear being that every single running back starts aging out and you can always get production cheaper. At what point do we go, I like the value, I can get more for it either now or heading into next year? Like, do we wait till preseason next year and look to sell these guys because we can actually fill that production and acquire value? Like, are we how far ahead are we projecting? What are we going to do with the younger assets? Because each year they're going to start proving themselves. 23 might be different, but
like
this is going to be a repeat in 2 years' time.
So, our friends at Keep Trade Cut have already, like, the people have already launched Travis Etienne into top five territory. If you're concerned about Travis Etienne next year for any reason, you should be moving him right now.
Yeah.
If you're actually worried, then you should be moving him right now. And then Damian Pierce is over there at RB11, Javonte RB12. I mean, Kenneth Walker, Dynasty RB2 right now, according to our friends over there at Keep Trade Cut. I think it's a phenomenal breed of running back, and just praying and hoping that Javonte and Breece Hall can come back and be what they were, because this top 12 is exactly what we said was going to be last week. Young and phenomenal. Hopefully they can just come back. But as for these backs, I'm not shocked by any of this except for Damian Pierce. But there are people like Lucas who can't not... Over
all right, here we go. Here we go.
Yeah.
Thomas is going to actually not want to fire me this week. When you look at these three backs, I think they line up into three very distinctive categories in terms of people you're buying, people you're selling, and people, if you have them, hold. If you don't have them, it's fine. And yeah. Kenneth Walker is somebody I'm absolutely buying. He has the draft capital. He is actually performing on the field, and he is young, is going to be inside of your ideal age range with the workload that you want for a couple more seasons. This is the cheapest you can buy him. Buy him now. You honestly, you should have bought him before the season started, if you believed.
Yeah.
You should have bought him wherever he had limited playing time and was producing, whenever Rashard Penny was still healthy. But now you can still buy him. It's not over. Still buy him now. If you have ETN and he's going in the top five, I think that you can sell him with him going all the way up there. I mean, he's only a year younger than Josh Jacobs. And I don't want this to all be an age thing, but this is the peak of his value. He's not going to get above top five. You don't really have anywhere else to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then if you have Dameon Pierce, hold on to him. I'm not trying to sell him yet because I think that his value can be a little bit higher, but also I don't think it's going to drop all that much whenever you end your season. Ride him out, actually get production, and then deal with it in the offseason.
Yeet. If you're going to trade Travis Etienne because his value can't get any higher, why are you holding on to Dameon Pierce? Etienne is a superior player with a superior skill set in a situation that is in all ways superior. Holding Dameon Pierce on? I think you should be yeeting Dameon Pierce. You should be using Dameon Pierce to trade up to Travis Etienne. Unless, again, if you are out on ETN for next year, I don't know why, but that's fine. I would understand if you were, if whatever scares you. But at this point in the season, the Jaguars just said, no, not only do we believe in Travis Etienne, but James Robinson, get fucked. They launched him straight into destination fucked as fast as they could.
What's the compensatory pick that they were getting back?
It's a sixth round pick that can turn into a fifth round pick. I believe that's probably going to be on play. But now they're like, all right, bell cow Travis Etienne. Are you worried about Hasty? No. I do like Snoop Connor, but he's got a long way to go before he's on the field stealing carries, where Dameon Pierce can have a fourth round running back drafted next year, and all of a sudden his role is not the same. And I understand that people will say, well, they don't need a running back. They won't draft a running back. Good luck trying to discern whether or not the Texans are going to do rational things.
I will say, if you are going to move Pierce, like, yes, yeet, sure, that's fine. But you have to get a 23 first if you're trading him straight. I would not sell for less. I agree with that. Like, hold so you can get that.
24.
I'm not selling him. Yeah, sure. Okay, a first, but you have to get a first. Like, he is a guy
that's
valuable enough to a team this year that they have to pay that. Or, like you said, you're going to use him to trade up to someone who you really like a Walker.
I'm fine if you're using Pierce to trade up to a better piece.
Like, it's not just yeet at all costs. It's got to be for – because he is valuable to someone this year at the very least, regardless of what the impact is afterwards. So
I just got to say, I'm taking a 24-1 for Dameon Pierce if I can right now. Because at that point, you've already upped your investment.
Yeah.
Right? You've already cashed in on your investment, and I'm more than willing to bank on history with these positions.
Or if you hold, you know the risk you're taking on, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I get it. We're starved for running backs. I completely understand. Yeah. But
if I can lock in a first and then pick up a Fournette next year, I'm very happy.
Yeah, or just trade them for a 24 first and Rashad White and call it a day, right? Add a third if you had to. Like, call it a day. That's a smash pick for me. But no, absolutely phenomenal. I want to talk about a player. I promised I would talk about him 2 weeks ago, and I've just been absolutely forgetting. Also, I just want to point out NBA Rigged over on Twitch at Thomas Tipple FF on Twitch. Jags selling Robinson on a dime. They are tanking now for sure. I disagree with you here.
Yes.
And I'll tell you why. The Jacksonville Jaguars did something I didn't think that I would ever hear myself say at any time ever. They made an unbelievably smart football move. They have this undrafted rookie running back that they rode the shit out of 2 years ago. They had a running back draft in the first round who got hurt, couldn't play. They wrote out James Robinson as much as they could again. And then he got hurt this year. Yeah, yep. Got a horrific injury late last year. Watched him come back, produce, get sore in his lower body, and then moved him for a potential fifth-round pick, sixth-round minimum. That is the Damian Pierce level cash in on your investment right there. And the Jaguars did. I don't think they're tanking. I just think they saw James Robinson for what he was. Replaceable.
An opportunity.
Because, and James Robinson is replaceable.
Yeah.
James Cook worth a flyer. James Cook is worth a flyer. It's just, it making me really sad. He wasn't one of the players I picked this week because my heart couldn't take it. Yeah. But Jasper, happy to see you again. The Movember link is in the show description. I will go over that if you're sticking around. Just a heads up if you hadn't caught that yet, which is why obviously I am mustached. And yes, I know it's not November yet, but the show here is in October. I didn't want to lose a week, all right?
Yeah, I'm in the future. You don't know. It could be November,
Yeah, we actually don't know. We can't confirm where Tom Lee actually is or when in time he is. He always seems to get good deals, so I think he's ahead of the curve.
Right.
Look, my point is, though, I did not talk about this player. I promised that I would, so I'm going to talk about him now. J.K. Dobbins at keep trade cut. The last time I had checked, he probably hasn't moved all that much. He did. He moved down. RB24. This is a little more reasonable. But my point's going to stand. I don't see J.K. Dobbins as anything more than flashy Damian Harris. Okay, there are some people that still have him as a top 15 dynasty running back. I can't see J.K. Dobbins as anything other than a fancy Damian Harris. They don't get the passing work because Greg Roman and even Lamar Jackson can stare down a wide open running back and you just like, nah, double coverage. That's just what he does. We love him for that, but he does not check down even when he can. It'd be great if he did, but he just doesn't. So the receptions, they're never going to be up in that 30, even like 40, even 30 range. So, okay, we know he's not going to catch passes. We know they don't operate a 60% of the snap type workload for running backs in that offense. Yeah. They rotate at all costs, even if it's detrimental. They would rather run out Ricard for a carry if it meant keeping him under like 65%, 60%. They'll just avoid it. So what are we hoping for? 10, 12, 15? We saw Damian Harris score 15 touchdowns and barely keep pace with top-tier elite running backs. Now, let's take into account that J.K. Dobbins is clearly struggling to stay healthy.
Yeah.
Maybe he comes back again next year, but he just had another knee surgery. So it could be another year plus before we see him. And I don't know if we ever see him at his elite. Look, J.K. Dobbins was my RB1 in that class at the draft. And at this point, I don't feel like we will ever see J.K. Dobbins at his peak. So at this point, I do not want to roster him in Dynasty at all. And the way I feel about Damian Harris is sadly the way that I am going to start feeling about J.K. Dobbins. And maybe this comes back to bite me in the ass, and I'm happy as a Ravens fan. But at this point, I am sad to have him on my Dynasty rosters. I can't see him as anything other than a Damian Harris type back. And I think RB24 on Kate on Keep Trade Cut, shout out to you guys, the work you're doing. You're a very valuable tool. You should go to keeptradecut.com. And it's what I'm reading off of here. Mm-hmm. I think RB24 is actually fine. But even at that price, I'd even rather have somebody like, I was going to say Brian Robinson, but even then that made me sick a little bit. So I won't go that far, but it's dangerous out there for J.K. Dobbins right now. Hence, Ravens should trade away Dobbins. A little different. J.K. Dobbins has actual draft capital, college production, like a lot of things going for him. James Robinson was an undrafted running back who's unathletic, who got an obscene workload that Najee Harris would. Najee Harris is about what James Robinson is, honestly, just with round one draft capital. Like, honestly. Well, seriously.
That hurts my heart.
But look at it. Look at the peripherals. It's right there. It's hard to say. Like, J.K. Dobbins is still on his rookie contract. I don't know, man. He's still on rookie's contract.
Even though it's bad for fantasy, it's still good for the Ravens. Like, they get production out of him when he's healthy.
Yeah,
so it's a good call. He's a cheap running back. He's very good. It just sucks when for his, us because we
when his contract is up, he needs to get yeeted.
Quick trade question for you, Thomas. Talking about J.K. Dobbins, where do you have him and Ramondre Stevenson in terms of trade value right now?
Oh, Stevenson way above J.K. Dobbins. So I traded a 24 first for Ramondre Stevenson, David Bell, and Nyheim Hines today.
So what would you have to add on to Dobbins to move up for Stevenson?
A two, probably.
Okay. Yeah,
probably
two. I just wanted to gauge it. No, asking for a friend here.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. So I'm thinking the same thing. Heck, how do you get out of Dobbins? Like, you're not selling for two.
I would sell him for a decent two and any player that I can use in his stead.
That's the key. I want the production, which makes it difficult because the plus becomes really difficult at that tier.
Yep. I'm not afraid to say that. I would have more confidence in Antonio Gibson being good for fantasy moving forward.
If I could trade him, JK Dobbins while he's injured to a rebuilding team for an older running back, if that chance still existed, I could possibly have like an Aaron Jones.
He's a player you use to move up.
Okay.
Right? For one of those rebuilding teams. He's a player you use to package anything you can up to go and get a player that you can use.
I don't think anyone's paying a first for him right now while he's banged up.
No, God no. No one was paying for a first for him when he came back. It just wasn't happening. But that's my player, Lucas. I want to get one of yours before we're on here for an hour and a half, and then we can actually move on. We can keep some of these for next week. It's been an absolute banger of the show. Kenyon Drake on waivers in my home league. Pick him up. He's going to finish as a top 20 running back this year. Pick him up. So sad. Our value just continued to be devalued. You know, thank you, Robinson, plus J.K. Dobbins, plus Zeke. Well, I mean, to be fair, Zeke's value in the NFL was super overblown with that contract they gave him. So can't really put Zeke in his value is being diminished. They still trot that man that runs like a 400-pound offensive lineman out on that field 20 touches a game when quite clearly they shouldn't be. He had his time, though. But as for Robinson, again, he's an undrafted running back who had a serious injury that doesn't look like he's going to recover, who wasn't super athletic to begin with. So it's hard to say that he gained value in the eyes of the NFL. Yeah.
He'll keep getting jobs, but it won't be anything.
Thomas, you don't see Justice is better than Drake. I don't see Justice Hill being given the workload that Drake has. Ever. Yeah,
he's had a lot of chances, too, which is unfortunate.
Justice Hill, phenomenal change of pace guy, given the draws, given the... You know, when they need a burst, he's looking good, but they can't give him that ball 15.
Drake keeps hitting holes. Time. It's so annoying. Yeah,
Kenyon Drake's looking good. And they still won't give him a start. I don't know what that man has to do. But Lucas, let's get your play here so we can move on.
All right, so just want to mention my follower real quick, DJ Moore. It sucks to see what's happening, but that's what happens whenever you can only catch 50% of your targets because your quarterbacks are that horrible. On a happier note, rookie wide receivers, holy cow. And what we were looking at as probably a down 2022 class, these wide receivers have shown out. And I wanted to highlight Chris Olave in particular because he was at the very end of those tiers for me personally. So we had the tier one, which was always Garrett Wilson, Drake London, Treylon Burks, depending on which way you lean. And then Chris Olave was part of the next tier of people we thought was really good, had some concerns about him. He was a fourth year, which probably was a little bit overblown because we knew he would have been drafted probably with at least round two draft capital if he came out after his junior season. But he has been really good. Some of that might be inflated a little bit just because of the offense he's in. But I mean, he has in his past five games, he has 13, 13, 7, 6, 14 targets. Like he's getting a lot. And whenever he doesn't get those targgets, he's actually scoring touchdowns. No matter who the quarterback is, no matter who they're playing against, they are consistently looking at him and he is doing really good things. So I'm extremely happy for Chris Olave. He has gone from wide receiver 31 to wide receiver 13, according to DLF. So he is now considered as a fringe wide receiver one for your dynasty teams. Like that is kind of nuts considering you were getting him at the 107, 108, 109.
Yeah.
People like Damian Pierce and in some of Tom's leagues, Cook going above him.
Look, we love some Chris Olave at this point. Mm-hmm. I've openly stated that I'll never be more wrong on a wide receiver in my life. He's wide receiver 7 on Keep Trade Cut right now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wide receiver 7.
Wow.
So he will finish the year as a top 10 wide receiver, and he is the alpha on that team. Mm-hmm. If Michael Thomas were to come back right now, Michael Thomas would be the number 2.
Yeah. He reminds me a lot of Chris Godwin. It's like,
yes.
Because remember when Evans and Godwin got vaulted into that 6, 7, 8 category?
Yes.
Ironically, like you said, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. They keep looking at him. I think they keep looking because he's always open. Like, we knew he was a really, really polished route runner coming out of college, but he wasn't anything amazing. They don't need much more than that. Like, basically, quarterbacks want someone who's open consistently, 10, 12 yards, move the chains. They're happy to give him the volume. Keenan Allen, another example of this sort of player. If he can have that type of career, we're very happy with that. I think you can still buy him. I don't think you're going to be asked for, you know, a 7th wide receiver over a cost. Even if he sits in that 12 to 18 range, it's a nice piece to set in your dynasty roster for a long period of time.
Yep, and I like what 100%. NBA Rigged is saying here. I still personally think that's London.
Yes.
That's me personally. Yeah. I really like Olave. I was very, very wrong on Olave. There were a lot of times I had chances to draft him. I drafted Sky Moore. Or I traded out that pick if Moore wasn't there instead of picking up Olave. That was wrong. I will admit, very wrong on my part. Shouldn't just discount fourth-year wide receivers just because they're fourth-year wide receivers, or they're not spectacular guys. He is just a very solid player who's going to have a very solid career, and I think he's always going to be, if he's not wide receiver 1, I don't see him finishing below wide receiver 15 for a long time in this league. So congratulations, Chris Olave. Welcome to wide receiver 1 territory.
So there's a couple of things I want to address here. Hill is on waivers. Grab them both. I would prefer Kenyon Drake on waivers, but if you don't get Drake, I think Hill is a fine thing. Speaking of DJ Moore, is PJ Walker is better QB than Darnold from what you see on tape? I wouldn't be able to tell you what I see from what I see on tape. I'll be the first person to tell you I have no idea how to scout quarterbacks. There's only one entity known that can scout quarterbacks, and that is God herself. Is the only thing, only entity, omnipotent or not, that knows how to scout a quarterback, because the NFL, fantasy players, all of us, couch GMs, don't know what the hell we are doing when it comes to scouting a quarterback. But I'll say this, I love any quarterback not named Baker Mayfield that can target DJ Moore. That's all I care about. I don't care if they're good or not. So at this point, this week,
to throw catchable targets.
This week, PJ Walker. If PJ Walker sucks, slap one Reed Sammy back in there. London skill set better than Olave from tape. Again, I have no idea. I just look at the peripherals. I think London has done everything he's needed to. He's just stuck in an archaic situation.
The ceiling's higher, but production's with Olave at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's. I have no doubt that if it wasn't Arthur Smith running that team, I think London would be right up there with Olave in total production. Absolutely phenomenal. We're going to take one more break, but when we come back, we're going to finish this off with the hard yak and get out of here, let you guys take off. Obviously, there's some stuff we wanted to get to on this show sheet. We're making these show sheets too damn big at this point because we have so much more. We might do a bonus little epi here and get it moving. But what we are going to do is we've talked about some letdowns, then we're getting into the biggest letdowns. This is going to be an all negative program on this one today. And next week will be a little bit more chipper, if you would. So here's another clip from one of our previous episodes. Enjoy. Seeing as how it's Levis week, we're going to roll with that from Wednesday's Full Tilt Debbie podcast. Enjoy.
I think I finally figured out why everyone loves Will Levis. And if you look at the profiles with him and Josh Allen, they're very close to identical. Will Levis actually, probably have the edge in the accuracy department. He definitely does. So I think that people actually think that he's going to be Josh Allen. It worked for Josh Allen. He's this big 6'3", 6'4", 240-pound quarterback. And I think they just think Will Levis fits that archetype of this guy who's big. He's got the rushing upside. But to me, that's such a huge gamble, and I feel sorry for whatever franchise buys that lotto ticket thinking that that's going to happen. In my mind, he doesn't set himself apart from any of these other QBs in the 23 class. He does things all right, I'm going to be watching intently on Saturday when they take on Lucas's Volunteers, because I think that game is going to have extreme draft implications.
Yes, it will. Absolutely phenomenal. We're a Go Vols fam over here.
So Bleacher Report was just doing their too early mock draft, and they have Hendon Hooker going 5th overall to the Texans. I'm not up there. All right, I'm not that crazy, but man, he's finally getting some respect after Bleacher Report left them off their top 7 quarterbacks for 2023 earlier in the week.
Hey, if
I was really surprised.
27-year-old Brandon Weeden can get drafted early, right? And 57-year-old senior Kenny Pickett get drafted in the first round. I still believe Tom Lee is having some issues, as you can see. So we're gonna do that because we're gonna lose him right away. But that's okay. Oh, maybe we won't. We probably will. All right. Look, we have another comment here from Jasper. Running backs and wide receivers: Ramondre, Ezekiel, Algier, Debo. I'm going to assume that's DJ Moore, not David Moore. I would hope. Amon-Ra, Tyrion David, James Cook, Darrell Williams, Josh Kelly. Okay. That's not looking too bad. I would immediately yeet Kelly.
That's what he just said.
Yeah, dropping Kelly and Price for Drake and another RB off waivers. Yeah, I think that you'd be sitting. I think you'd be sitting pretty good there. Yeah, 100%. We're gonna see if we can get Tom Lee back. This happens, guys. He is in Australia, so shout out to him. But Lucas, let's talk about some of our biggest letdowns while we wait for Tom Lee. I want you to start with yours. This one hurts. I swear, people, this isn't me. All right. This is the other guys talking about these guys now.
And it's somebody who I was probably too high on. Like, obviously, I'm too high on him with him being wide receiver 55 currently, according to like on production this year. It's Rashad Bateman. That man, I mean, coming in, I had him ranked as one of the top 3 wide receivers in his draft class. Obviously, behind Jamar Chase, I had him behind Jalen Waddle, but still ahead of Devonta Smith. But man, it is not look good this year, even with the Ravens still trying to find ways to get the ball out of Lamar Jackson's hands, out of the running back's hands, and getting it out to their receivers, who they apparently don't need Marquise Brown anymore. Whatever.
I don't want to talk about that.
It's really tough to see somebody who has so much promise, who looks so good coming out of college. He just doesn't have it. It really sucks. He's somebody I definitely try to trade away from while people still have that lure of, oh, this is a promising young wide receiver. So looking at some trade options for Rashad Bateman, I have 2 on here, and each of them were really puzzling to me whenever I found these on DLF. First one that I'm going to look at is Rashad Bateman and Isaiah Pacheco for Josh Jacobs and a 2nd this year. I think Jacobs in the 2nd is an easy smash. That's just for me personally. If you're trying to move off of Bateman, you're getting Josh Jacobs, who's a top 5 running back in Dynasty. It's a weird year, guys. And he actually looks good doing it. Surprises me. It's somebody who's going to produce so much more for you. Still maintain a little bit of future value with that 2nd. And you can move off of Josh Jacobs if you really just don't want to hold on to him later. I think he'll maintain his value through the rest of the season. So I really like, if you're trying to move Bateman, doing something like that. And then another strange one, Rashad Bateman and Jahan Dotson for Christian McCaffrey. I found this one before the trade to the 49ers happened. But even that one, yes, Dotson looks really good. A lot of his productions came from touchdowns, though, and Bateman's just losing a lot of that shine. That's another way, if you're trying to get out of some assets for actual production that you can still sell at a good value later, I think that's another great trade to try to do. And that McCaffrey's really still going to help you even after your trade. He's going to help you a lot more than I think Bateman or Dotson 1 could do.
Nope. 100%. I can vibe with that. Tom Lee, your biggest letdown.
Biggest letdown. So let's go with Stafford. So the expectation from us wasn't high, right? Matt Stafford, we thought middling or high QB2, hoping for decent floor with some upside. You know, we weren't expecting top 12. Didn't matter how high powered the offense was. It's just good, solid sort of 20-point weeks. That's what we wanted. What we have is not that. what we have is the QB 25 overall and the QB 30 in points per game, which is not okay, right? Because there's rookies playing everywhere. We've had like huge amounts of volatility across the QB position. So to not be anywhere near the top 15, top 16, as a guy who's played every single game, is astounding. It's just, you know, and this is a guy that people are asking for quite a bit for. We'll talk about the trades in a second. But what are you guys, before I ask that, what are you guys doing with Stafford? Like, I assume most of us don't have him on our rosters, but if you have him, what are you doing?
First sign of trouble I had, or I saw, I got rid of him. Like, I'm stuck with a couple, and I'm probably going to have him rot away in my on my bench because I'm playing Geno instead. The man has Cooper Kupp.
It's hard to pick streaming weeks. Like, that's the hard bit. Like, mm-hmm. You can't pick which week to put him in.
He has Cooper Kupp. Mm. You should be putting him in every week. But the man loves throwing to the other team, and that's that's the problem.
If you ever watched this show at any time this offseason, every single one of us told you his production last year was not sustainable. It wasn't going to happen again this year. There's no possible way that he could produce at the same touchdown numbers that he did. And all of his production comes from passing. He has no rushing production whatsoever. It just wasn't sustainable. They had more touchdowns in the red zone than any other team in football last year. More passing touchdowns, that is. Wasn't going to happen. Some of them had to go somewhere else. And also, there just has to be some regression. So we were trying to help you.
The QB 11 last year.
Mm-hmm. And that was with all that upside.
Yep.
Yeah.
With fucking Stafford.
So what we've done is, I've gone and pulled a bunch of trades, but we found five examples of him still being traded for a 23 first, which of course, for me, you're taking, if you, yeah, I know, right? You're taking,
that's more disgusting than my mustache.
6 points. This is the leagues we all play in. So there's still a chance. And I think what you can do is you can try to sell the narrative with the Van Jeffersons, the possibility of Odell coming back later in the year, the Russ Wilson, he can turn it around narrative to sell him. I think you could try to use to the right owner. I don't know who's paying.
He's got
to
do something first.
Well, that's the key. Is like
he's got to like string games together, not just one. No one look, like Kanye once said, I'm going to let you finish, but first, the narrative that you can like, has putting a player on the block after they had a good game ever actually fucking worked? We all know, because you've probably sat there trying to trade that player to everyone in the league for 5 weeks, and they're like, nah, bro, he sucks. Nah, and then he has like four catches for 72 yards and a touchdown, and you throw him on the block immediately like, he's here, son. He's risen. Come get him. He good now. He's not. He's ass. So I just don't think that tactic actually works.
You know who might want him? The Matt Ryan owner. That's my strategy.
I guess the other part is QB's been so volatile. If you need someone to fill in, he seems affordable enough for someone to go after. So
if you have Matt Ryan, all right, and you're trying to compete at this point in the year, pack it in.
Stop.
Pack it in. Sell. Anyway, sorry, Tom Lee, I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, that was the point. As much as we're saying like this example's happening, I don't know what you do with one. That's why it's one of the biggest letdowns. You're stuck with a player. You don't know which week you can play him, but you should play him each week because the expectation is still 15th as a roundabout the mark. But it's not happening. He's getting beaten weekly by Daniel Jones, who's just got running floor. Like, that's been it. Like,
Vanilla
Vic. That's your comparison. It's not good. Yeah.
Vanilla Vic, just absolutely on fire. Look, for me, my biggest letdown, I'm going to try to be as quick as I can. I do talk a lot, though, so sorry about that. It's Diontae Johnson. It has to be Diontae Johnson. I finally bought in. I put him in my top 12 in Dynasty. I fought FT_Maddie for, seems like, years about Diontae Johnson and how good he is. But this year, it's been a colossal disappointment. Diontae Johnson is 11th in expected fantasy points per game. He's playing negative 5.2 expected fantasy points per game. He's averaging only 10.6 fantasy points per game right now. That is woefully bad. That puts him down in the Mecole Hardman, Mac Collins, Isaiah McKenzie, Brandon Cooks, Sterling Shepard territory. in fantasy this year. This isn't someone that you were picking up in the fifth and sixth round, paying a first plus for last year. He is fourth in the league in targets. That is how depressing his targets have been this year. His target share, 27.2%, is right on par with how elite he has been. He's running only 7.5%. He has a 7.5% slot snap. That's not great. All right, we would definitely want to see more of that, but they are using their bigger guys like Pickens and Claypool in multiple roles, something that he had not had to deal with. And George Pickens has basically come through and Sparta kicked the door open as quite clearly an elite player. There was the joke that they brought Chase Claypool out, right, to announce his replacement, and like that was a joke. It fucking happened. That is both hilarious and sad at the exact same time. This game is it's a simulation. We are in the Matrix. The woman in the red dress has walked by and we're all fucking looking. All right. Like that is what's happening in the state of football right now. And Deontay Johnson, quite sadly, is again stuck on your bench. You're not gonna move him for a two, because what happens? Kenny Pickett doesn't look fantastic, but he's a rookie. Rookies are bad. They didn't start him out the gate. There's just a whole bunch of things going wrong. Trubisky is just Trubisky. Clearly, there was a way for it to get worse for Deontay after Ben, and we're seeing it. It's scary right now. I wouldn't go as far as to say I would move off of all of my Deontay, because what really are you gonna replace him with?
DJ Moore vibe. Like that value crashes. You know, some talents there, but what do you do with it?
Absolutely. Nobody predicted Russ and Matt Ryan being this horrendous. I know, because I sat here in this chair on this program going, I want Matt Ryan in every single league that I have. It's my QB2. There's no way that Matt Ryan's going to absolutely blow it up. He stinks. He stinks. They're replacing with a sixth round nobody. He sucks. He's washed. He's not even suited up at practice. He's standing there beside the coaches. He's already got a clipboard. His career is over. It's done. I was so tremendously wrong, and it makes me want to vomit. I am so sorry. Deontay's talent is elite, though. It is. It's a Matt Canada issue, maybe, but I think it's a quarterback issue, and I think it's a giant, giant George Pickens issue.
Matt Canada was Pickett's offensive coordinator in college. Just going to throw that out there. He has experience in this system.
Matt Canada is bringing bad juju to the Canada name on a weekly basis, and it makes me very sad. It makes me very sad. So that's that. I think that's about it. Look, next week we're going to have some better vibes for you. We are going to do players that have hit, that we love, that have gone up. We're not going to focus on the negative. We're going to bring it back, and it is going to be on the positive side. I promise. Final thoughts before we get out of here. Tom Lee.
All right. So Aussie slang. If I said to you the following terms, I said booze bus, I said RBT, and I said breatho. What do you think I'm talking about?
The drunk tank.
Sounds like a fun weekend. It's the drunk tank.
Yeah. Well done. Not that I've ever been there or anything.
Yeah, it sounds more like a Venga Boys album title, but Booze Bus, RBT, breatho is essentially, what would you call it? Sobriety testing? I don't know what it's called in the US, but
breathalyzer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Breathalyzer. So it's just shortened, of course. Everything in Australia is shortened. But yeah, breatho, booze bus, RBT. There was one the other night driving home from work, which I thought was ironic at 12 in the morning. But, it's Australia, so we always have that booze bus out there.
Don't drink and drive, people. God. Phenomenal. Lucas, final thoughts before we get out of here?
I think some of the players that we brought up is it rehashes some of our debates this past summer where we were talking about, is it the elite quarterback that's making the elite wide receiver, or elite wide receiver that makes the elite quarterback? I think we also have to include a threshold on this, because obviously Tyreek Hill, elite. Oh my gosh, I almost said Devontae Parker. Devontae Adams, elite. All right, we know that's this.
A big fucking difference.
Yeah, I know. I had to catch myself here. But I think we also have to include that there's a threshold on quarterbacks, and obviously We all think that Deontay Johnson's good. He couldn't produce as much as he was with Big Ben because Big Ben threw the ball more than any other quarterback in the NFL. But man, these rookies have been really rough. The Panthers quarterback somehow got worse. I didn't even know that was possible. Honestly, they would just be better running a wildcat formation every single play at this point. But unfortunately, you know, they traded away their most talented offensive asset. But I digress. I think it's something we need to think about going forward is what is the threshold on elite quarterbacks and elite wide receivers. But absolutely having a fun time again. It's Kentucky week. Falls by 50.
Vols by 50. We love to see it. And look, my final thoughts are really going to be this. We're heading into November. I want everyone to enjoy their Halloween. I want everyone to be safe this weekend. Take care of your loved ones. Check in on them. Mostly have a great time and enjoy the games. I do want to say, though, we are doing the March through Movember. We have a donation goal. We'd love it if you could spread the word. The link is in the description of the show. And if you didn't know, Movember is the leading charity changing the face of men's health. And this Movember, we're joining the team. Together, we can make a difference for men's health in prostate cancer, testicular cancer, mental health, and suicide prevention. Help us stop men from dying too young. You can head over to Movember.com and you can search up the Full Tilt Pod Network, hit donate, use the links. You can absolutely go to truenorthffb.com/fulltilt. The link will be going up there shortly. It means a lot to us. It's not for us specifically, but it is for a lot of people struggling with a lot of things. I talk a lot on the show about checking in on your loved ones, and one of the stigmas is that men can't talk about issues. Men can't communicate when they need to, and it's a serious problem, and we need to do our part in helping raise awareness for that and do that. Also, harass Tom Lee, harass Lucas to shave in a mustache so I'm not alone over here. Remember, again, check in on your loved ones, even if you don't know if they need it. Remember that clear eyes and full hearts can never lose in your best days. They're always been tilting. Because the Ravens already play, I'll say this, Vols by 50. Let's go, Vols!